It is an awesome honor to be asked to speak on Sunday morning to you. And what a great honor it is to be able to come into the presence of Almighty God. I'm glad you're here today. I hope that you brought your Bibles. You're going to need them. I hope that you brought some maturity because you're going to need that. The text we're going to study today is very, very challenging. So I want you to tie your shoelaces tight and lean forward as we study the text of Scripture. It challenges our hearts about fiery furnaces. Get your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 3. It's where we are this morning as we kick off our study. We're going to be talking about Daniel's three best friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and as one little boy said in a Bible class, a billy goat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three friends of Daniel. The Babylonians have taken over God's people. But Daniel and his three best friends, they've kind of oppressed the officials of the Babylonians, and they have kind of given them some positions of authority. Pretty good guys until chapter 3 happens. If you begin reading with me, or just notice him beginning in verse number 1, King Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's pretty hot stuff, and he builds this statue of gold that's 90 feet tall. That is 12 shekel tall, just to kind of give you how tall that is. That's 12 Shaquille O'Neal's tall. It's 9 feet wide, and eight times in the text it says that King Nebuchadnezzar had to set it up. I think that's so hilarious. They set this statue up and they've got to prop it up. Look at just seven of them with me. Look at the last two words in verse 2. Look at almost the last words in verse 3. Look at the last two words in verse 5. Look at the last two words in verse number 7. Look at the last two words in verse number 12. Look at the last two words in verse number 18. They had to prop this thing up. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar decides he wants everybody to worship this great idol, this 12 shekel on these tall. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 2 and 3. He invites a whole lot of folks to the dedication. If you look in verse number 2 and 3, there's a lot of folks that have come together. And here's the deal. When the ragtime band begins playing, you're supposed to fall down and worship this idol. Would you please look with me at verse number 5 at all the instruments that's going to be in the ragtime band? The rule is this. When the ragtime band starts up, you bow before this idol. Well, some guys come along and they begin to notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't fall down and when the ragtime band starts up. In fact, if you notice in verse number 12, they become a tattletale. Look in verse number 12 with me of the text. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylonia, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to picture the scene. He gets so angry, I want you to notice what he tells them is going to happen. Look with me at verse number 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of the gold I've set up?" Now when you hear the ragtime band, he mentions the band again. You're supposed to fall down and worship. And if you don't worship it, notice what's going to happen. You will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Are you with me so far? We've got a potential problem here of some guys that's about to be cast into a fiery furnace. I want you to study with me these next few lines. They're very, very important. Look with me in verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not," and that's where our lesson begins. I've got it underlined on the screen. I've also got it underlined in my Bible. Why wouldn't God want to deliver us from our fiery furnace? These boys are about to be cast into the furnace. And they tell Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to fall down and worship you. You do what you want to do, but we serve a God who is able to deliver us. But if he does not, let me ask you something up front. Eyeballs right here. Can you always trust God? Appreciate your enthusiasm. Let me re-ask it. Can you always trust God? Yes. Can you always figure him out? No. Can you always trust him? Even when you and I are facing a fiery furnace. I hadn't slept very well the last two or three nights. Can't been able to turn my brain off. Don't know if anybody is like me, a little sleepy this morning because of that. But sometimes we all face fiery furnaces. Sometimes we face dilemmas in our life and we wonder where God is. Right here is our lesson today. Why wouldn't God rescue us from our fiery furnaces? I'm looking into the eyes of folks probably, and for sure on those who are watching online, some of us are going through our fiery furnace right now. Some of us feel the heat of an approaching fiery furnace. And some of us have been through a fiery furnace of all kinds of things. And when God chooses not to deliver us from the fiery furnace, why is that the case? I want you to look at a couple of things that has just been said. When you're in your fiery furnace, I want you to learn from these boys and their answer. They said, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. We don't need to give an explanation to you, King, about why the God that we serve has not delivered us from this, will not deliver us from this fiery furnace. Why? Because God's plans are deeper than you and I can understand. I need some head nodding. Does that make sense? You can't figure God out always because His plans are deeper than all of us. So therefore, we don't try to explain God. We don't have to try to explain the why. Because this thing is bigger than us. We can't understand it totally. Not all the fiery furnaces in our life we can get a grasp. So you don't need to be defending or trying to explain God when you're in your fiery furnace. When you're in your fiery furnace, have this attitude. They said, we're not going to serve your gods or worship your golden image that you have set up. Why in the world would he say that? Look at these three next things I'm going to share with you. When you're in the midst of your fiery furnace, live your values. You spent a lifetime developing your values. When you're in the midst of your fiery furnace, live your values. The second thing I would suggest is trust God when he delivers you and trust God when he doesn't. And the rest of our lesson will give us some reasons why we can do that. And then the third thing, depend on your faith. Sometimes all you got to hang on to is your faith, true or false. I got an email this week from someone who's coming to see me Tuesday. Got a problem. I'm afraid the problem is going to be of such that all I'm going to be able to say is, hey, hang on to your faith, because right now that's all you got. You and I face some moments in our life when that's all we've got to hang on to. Rod Jones was a dear friend of mine. I'm preaching a meeting in East Tennessee several years ago. I got a phone call that his son died in a car wreck, first week of his job after being out of school. Headed that was for his first payday. Had a car wreck and died that day. Tell me the magic words I told Rod that made everything okay. There's not any. All we could do was cry. I got in my car the next morning and drove to Birmingham, Alabama, where the funeral was going to be. Walked in the funeral home. There was Rod by the casket. I walked up to Rod and told him the magic words I told him that made everything okay. There's not any. All we could do was hug each other and cry. At that moment in life, tell me what Rod had to hang on to at that moment in his life. All he had to hang on to was his faith. Do I have your attention this morning? Sometimes we face fiery furnaces. And sometimes God chooses not to deliver us from those fiery furnaces. And when we're in the midst of those fiery furnaces, live your values. Trust God when He delivers. And trust God when He doesn't. And hang on to your faith that you've been building up throughout your lifetime. So why would God not deliver us from our fiery furnace? I'm not going to contradict myself with something I said a moment ago. We can't always figure God out. We can't always figure out the whys. But let me give you four suggestions to begin thinking about the God that we serve and maybe why God would not deliver you from your fiery furnace. Here's the first one. Instead of delivering us from our fiery furnace, God might choose to to stand beside us through it. Would you get your Bibles back out to Daniel chapter 3? The king is so angry. In verse number 19, beginning of the text, he orders that the furnace be 7 times hotter than usual. If you look in the latter part of verse 19, they tie them up. In verse number 20 of the text, they put extra clothing on these boys. They put extra clothes. They put something around their head. They want these guys to burn and suffer really, really badly. If you look in verse number 22, because of the king's commands, it was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, that the fire of those that put the boys in the fire also died. Now we pick up our study again. Look with me in verse number 24. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. You see, he wanted to come and watch it. So he comes and he's watching, and I don't know how he's looking into the fire, but he is. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to the counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is the Son of God." All right, church, are you listening? Sometimes God might not deliver you out of your fiery furnace. Instead, He might decide to walk beside you through it. I need some head nodding. Does that make sense? You see, sometimes we have to live through our fiery furnace. God might choose instead to stand beside us through it. Let me give you a second thing to think about as to maybe why God will not deliver us from our fiery furnace. He might have something better off for us, waiting for us. My example is Moses. I've kind of always thought down deep in my heart that Moses kind of got a bum deal. Anybody have trouble with maybe his not getting to go to the promised land? Am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one with heart trouble. I'm glad I could bear my soul to you. He hit the rock and got some water. They changed the rule. And I'm sure there were other things involved, but Moses did not get to go to the promised land. Could it be that God had something better planned for Moses in the promised land? Anybody love Tennessee? Anybody love Lincoln, Tennessee? Am I the only one? Tennessee's a pretty neat place to live. When I travel on a plane and I leave Tennessee and I'm flying back into Nashville, and I see the green grass and those trees, those rolling hills, I say, man, this is good. Is it pretty good to live in this area? You bet it is. But had you rather live here or heaven? I didn't mean right now, but you know, in the future. Moses couldn't go to the promised land. Could it be that God had something better waiting for Moses in the promised land? And that was heaven. Could it be? Why God did not deliver, could it be that He's got something better planned for you? Maybe you're in a dead-end marriage. Maybe you're in a dead-end job. Maybe you've got a health condition that's just really torturing you. Don't know what your fire furnace might be. I did this lesson several years ago, and a lady walked up to me holding her husband and said, "I'd like you to meet my fiery furnace." I don't know what your fiery furnace might be. But God might choose not to deliver you from your fiery furnace, because He might decide to stand beside you through it. A second possibility could be He might have something better waiting for you. I need some head nod again. Does that make sense? So hang on, because He might have something better. Now, tie your shoelaces a little tighter and lean forward, because what we're about to study the next 5 minutes is really, really challenging. It's the third reason maybe why God will choose not to deliver us from our fiery furnace. It could be He wants us to learn some valuable life lessons that we would not learn in any other way without going through the fiery furnace. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. And what we're about to read is very, very challenging. Let's prayerfully read these verses together. Because God might choose to not to deliver you and me from our fire furnace because of what we're about to learn in Hebrews 12, beginning verse 7. And that reason is there might be some life lessons that God wants you and me to learn that we would not otherwise learn unless we go through the fiery furnace. I'm reading in chapter 12, beginning verse 7. Endure hardship is discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Reread verse 9 quietly. Look at the challenge of our thinking in verse number 9. In verse number 9, our daddies disciplined us, maybe not at the time, but we respected them for it. Then he says, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Can you always trust God? Yes. Can you always figure Him out? No. But can you always trust Him? Absolutely. And sometimes the fiery furnace I'm living through is part of God's discipline. Keep reading with me. Listen, it gets even better. Look at verse number 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. Have you ever disciplined your children as they were growing up that did you good? Let me paint a picture for you. You're in the grocery store and your child is rolling on the floor because you won't buy sugar pops or whatever they're looking at. And what do you feel inclined you need to do? Something here. I need to say something here to save my face. Sometimes we do the best that we can as human beings to discipline our kiddos kind of for our good. Look at the next line, though. But God disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. One of the reasons maybe why God might not deliver us from our fiery furnace is that He wants us to learn some life lessons we would not otherwise have learned except we go through that fiery furnace. And one of the results is that we might share in His holiness. What a challenge. For you and me to become more holy, more godlike, we might have to go through a fiery furnace to learn some lessons so we would be more holy. It gets even better. Look at verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And our young people would say what to that? That is true. Your kids are nodding their heads. Don't look at them, but they're nodding their heads. Sometimes the discipline doesn't seem really good at the time, but painful. Now listen to this next line. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Don't look at your kids. Y'all look at me for a second. How many of you have parents that have all of a sudden got real dumb? Have they? Just nod your head yes or no. They're not watching you. If we have college age in the room, you're now old enough, have your parents got a little smarter since you've got maybe that age group? Now, those of us who have our own kids now, did our parents get all of a sudden real, real smart when we had, are you with me? Sometimes at the time I didn't realize that what I was learning was really very valuable. My kids are now quoting me. That's pretty neat to get to that point when your kids begin to quote you to their kids. Could it be that God allows us to go through a fiery furnace that we might learn some valuable lessons that we would not otherwise have learned except going through the fire? In fact, notice the three that he mentions here. Look at the last line, the last words of verse number 10. One of the results of the fiery furnace could be we become more holy. Look at verse number 11. It produces a harvest of righteousness. What's the word righteousness means? It's one of those big old stained glass words we throw around. The word righteousness means right with God. The word righteousness, all it means is in a right relationship with God. What can help me develop a closer relationship with God? Walking through a fiery furnace. I recognize my need of God. And look at the third thing he mentions. It mentions in the middle of verse number 11, peace. three things that can result from going through the life lessons that God wants us to learn that we would not have learned in any other way except going through the fire furnace. Holiness, a right relationship with Him, and peace. If, did you notice the if in the line? If, he says in the last phrase of verse 11, for those who have been trained by it. There are some folks that kick and scream and miss the whole. Let me give you an example. I have a brother 7 years older. We shared an upstairs bedroom. Anybody have an older brother? Then you can understand what I'm about to say here. My brother aggravated me to death. He would always pull jokes on me. He would get a new watch and sell me his watch. He would get a new baseball glove and sell me the baseball glove. One day I had all that I could take. I was downstairs, and in front of my mom, I said, I am going to my room, and I am never coming down. And I'm in it. But in about an hour, I got a little hungry. I kicked and screamed and missed the whole point of what my mom was trying to teach me. You ever do that? Nod your head if you've ever done that. Sometimes we do it with God. God tries to teach us valuable lessons and we kick and scream and miss the whole point of what God's trying to teach us. I told you to tie your shoelaces tight and lean forward. That's a real challenge. The third reason I want you to give some prayerful thought about your own walk with God. God might not choose to deliver you from your fire furnace. He might stand beside you through it. He might have something better for you waiting, so don't give up, don't quit. But then this third reason, there might be some life lessons God wants us to learn that we would not have otherwise learned except going through the fire furnace. I need some head nodding. Does that make sense? Are we in good shape with it? Let's go to the last one, which gives me the most difficulty as I think about my life and as I think about what this story teaches. It's in John chapter number 11. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is a story of Jesus encountering a man who had been blind from birth. It's a challenging passage because of what it teaches us about God and what it teaches us about our walk with Him. In John chapter 9, the Bible says this. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Where in the world did that come from? There were some religious guys that taught this back in the Old Testament time and New Testament time. That if you got a bunch of problems, it's only because you got a bunch of sin in your life. Would you think with me about the story of Job? Job had all these problems. He lost everything that he had. And what did his friends tell him to do? Job, if you just repent and tell God you're sorry, you wouldn't have all these problems. It's because of your sin. And Job's response was, I'm not perfect, but I hadn't sinned this bad to lose everything. So the prevailing thought was, if you got a bunch of problems in your life, it's got to be because you got a bunch of sins in your life. The bad thing about that is that's bad theology. That's untrue theology. So the disciples said, Jesus, who goofed? They're quoting what they'd been listening to around. Who goofed, this guy or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one. Here comes the lesson out of John chapter 9. Read it again prayerfully. Listen to the words of Jesus. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that, and I got the so that circled, the so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. God may allow us to stay in our fiery furnace to give other people an opportunity to see a bigger, clearer picture of God. I don't totally understand chapter 9. I hear what Jesus told the disciples, but what a challenge to be in a fiery furnace, to have a health situation, to have a family situation, to have a personal problem, and God allows me to stay in that fiery furnace so that other people might see a clearer, bigger picture of Almighty God. They began to talk to this boy. The neighbors come, first of all, if we kept reading in John chapter 9. And they said, explain yourself. We've known you all your life. We always thought you were blind. Would you please explain how you can now see? Here was the boy's answer. Here's all I know. I met a man named Jesus. He stirred up some mud and put on my eyes. Now I can see. I met a man named Jesus. He changed my life forever. That's all I know. Well, the religious folks couldn't handle that answer, so a little bit later in John chapter 9, they come up to him again. They accuse him of lying all his life, really about not being blind. Would you please explain yourself? The boy for the second time said this, here's all I know. I met a man named Jesus. He put mud on my eyes, and now I can see. I met a man named Jesus, and he changed my life forever. A third time, they come back to him again. Explain yourself. Boy, for the third time, said this. Here's all I know. I met a man named Jesus. He put mud on my eyes, now I can see. I met a man named Jesus, and he's changed my life forever. You'll have neighbors and friends, they will ask you that same question. When they look at your life, would you please explain yourself? And here's the answer you need to give. I met a man named Jesus. And he's changed my life forever. And I'd like to talk to you about my best friend, Jesus. Why in the world would God allow us to live in a fiery furnace? It could be he chooses instead to stand beside us through it. It could be that there may be something better waiting for us. It could be that he wants us to learn some valuable lessons that we would not otherwise have learned except going through the fiery furnace. A fourth possibility. It could be that God allows us to stay in the fiery furnace so that other people might be able to see a clearer, bigger picture of him. I warned you. I told you to take some maturity. I told you to tie your shoelaces tight. And what a challenge this is. Just some ideas to begin our thinking about the God of heaven as we deal with life and the fire furnaces that come our way. Here's our take-homes. Can you always trust God? I didn't hear you. Can you always trust God? Absolutely. Can you always figure Him out? No. Can you always see all the lessons He wants you to learn? No, not at the time. But you can always trust Him. And we'll close with this. If you haven't heard the voice of God or seen the hand of God in a while, you can always trust the heart of God. If it's been a while since you've heard His voice, if it's been a while since you've seen His hand working, you can always trust the heart of God. I wouldn't make light of your fiery furnace in any way. We need each other to help each other go through the fiery furnace. But God is on His throne. His will be done. The tomb is still empty. And one day He's going to take us home to be with Him in heaven. Is anybody glad? Yeah. Let's pray together for a moment. Lord, we lift up to You right now the fiery furnaces that we are living in. I lift up prayers for everybody in this room, everybody who's watching online, our families. I lift all of us up this moment as we deal with the fiery furnaces in our life. Sometimes, God, our fiery furnaces make us angry. Sometimes it causes us it impacts our faith. And sometimes questions about life discourages us. I pray You will bless this study today to the application of our walk with You. And may our hope and trust in You just be deeper because we've looked into Your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our shepherds would love to pray with you today. If there's fiery furnaces, it's kind of got maybe the upper hand right now. Or maybe you've been studying on your own and you're ready to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Preparations have already been made for you to do that very thing. As we sing this song, notice the words we're about to sing. And if everything is okay between you and God, sing with great joy. Sing with great enthusiasm. If our shepherds can be prayerful, if we can help in any way, let those needs be made known right now. Would you stand together? Let's worship in song, Larry.